This is the Dave and Checky Show. We got this groovy podcast for ya. Reviewing crazy tunes, we're quoting Twain and Sting and Dune. We'll bring ideas to share, like bonus points for extra flair, cause it's the freaking Dave and Checky Show. Show, we're bringing you this groovy review. We might preview movies, bake some bread, or drink some smoothies. So come on, have way too much caffeine. You roll up some reefers, I'll reference some Raffy. This is the Dave and Checky Show.
Hero.
Hi, and welcome to, it's episode 4. Did you know that?
Yeah, episode 4. Quattro.
Of what, though, is the question.
Of the podcast.
Okay, you know what? That was such a flash in the pan on SNL that I'm quite certain nobody recalls that bit.
What? You're not a big fan of the people who made So I Married an Axe Murderer?
Are you kidding me? That was one of the first things I asked you when we started dating. I don't know if you remember that.
Shush, I remember that.
Okay.
I also remember you said never say shush. That's why I've said it twice.
I don't remember saying that, but I believe that I probably did. Okay, Dave, you've started this.
I was making some noises.
Yeah, don't make that noise.
The dog doesn't seem to like it. That was for her.
No, honey. Honey, go lay down, sweet girl. It's okay. Shh. No, honey.
So, yes.
Anyway, so I'll cut that part out.
Shush. How about the... How about the Gong Show? Coming back. Bringing it back. Taking it back.
Dave, I have asked you now what the name of the show was, and you have just gone on to...
Dave and Checky's...
Yes?
Groovy...
No.
Dave and... No. It's a groovy... No. Middle-aged cool kids. Cool middle-aged kids. Middle-aged cool kids. Featuring Dave and Checky... Super cool, okay. Something or other.
Welcome to...
I never know what it's called.
Welcome to the Middle-Aged Cool Kids Super Terrific Podcast featuring your pals, Dave and Checky.
That's right.
Now, we have... I didn't know you wanted to talk about the new Gong Show.
Oh, yeah. It's really... It's big on my list of priorities.
Well, you just brought it up.
I'm just saying. It's big on my list of priorities.
Oh, you're not being facetious.
No.
All right, it is big on his list of priorities. Well, that's fine. Yesterday we discussed that today's show was going to be about unpopular opinions.
And so, the most unpopular of opinions is that the Gong Show is a vital TV show.
Yeah, we don't have cable at all. We have no cable.
Well, that's a popular trend.
Yeah, we're cord cutters.
We're cool kids. I got a man bun.
There are no men
in the
buns.
Oven.
You don't have a man bun. We, you know, we just...
I had a man bun once.
You did?
Yeah, back in the 90s.
I think that was a ponytail.
It's a ponytail until you think you're Gene Simmons and you put it above your head. Then all of a sudden, he's the originator of the man bun.
You know what? You're onto something there. Gene Simmons, innovator, man bun. Let's see if he copyrights the term, because he's kind of that guy.
Next thing, these hipsters are going to be spitting blood. Oh, wait, they are. That way you hear that guy in the airplane. He was spitting blood.
That guy was a weirdo.
He must have been ahead of his time.
What did he do? Bite the inside of his cheek or something?
Well, he got a blood capsule in there. It's fake ketchup or something. Is fake ketchup real blood?
Fake ketchup is
no,
real
it's not.
Blood.
You know, because they use ketchup instead of blood sometimes in the movie scenes.
Yeah, I think we're talking real low budget movies.
Yeah, you know, the movie scenes. The Super 8 movie scenes. Mm-hmm.
All right, so the Gong Show with... So we started watching it through one of our Plex channels. I think Plex had some sort of ABC, I guess, it was on. And we just started watching it. We knew nothing about it. This was, I guess, about 6 months ago. and it had already aired in its entirety, and we just hadn't even heard anything about it. And we're watching it, and we're like, who is that host? And I think pretty quick I was like, I think that's Michael Myers.
I had no idea. I just thought he was some sort of really strange English-like caveman guy.
But amazing. It was amazing.
Well, he had a certain flair, charm that I wasn't sure what was going on with him.
The character of him, I don't even remember his name, but the character was so amazing. It was just like, I didn't even care about the acts or the judges. I just couldn't get enough of that guy. And then I think maybe the second episode in, I'm like, I think that's Mike Myers. And then I couldn't not think it. And you thought I was wrong, didn't you?
I didn't know.
Or you were open. You were open to any new ideas.
I don't know about that. But once I saw it, I kind of realized it was probably Mike Myers.
And then we started Googling.
He had a little bit of the Scottish look to him, like from the So I Married an Axe Murderer. There was a little, if you look, kind of like if the Scottish character had aged a little bit or something. I'm not sure which Scottish character I'm talking about, but maybe I'm confusing a couple of things.
The Scottish character in...
Not from...
Austin Powers?
No.
In My Belly?
No, maybe more like his...
The dad?
The dad or something.
The dad from So I Married Another. Kid, heed now.
Yeah, exactly. That was sort of...
There was something about that. Yeah, okay. And anyway, so they've renewed it. There was no word on whether they were going to renew it. And I even followed the... I forget what Mike Myers' character name is on Gong Show, but I followed that Twitter.
Yeah, we weren't really prepared to talk about this. I just kind of...
I wasn't, but I do...
I just thought about it for a second there.
Okay. Well, thanks for throwing me a curve, Dave. Now, of course, the big news of...
Off the cuff.
Oh, okay.
Well, let's, you know, we could segue in here if you want.
Oh, okay. You go ahead and segue.
Yeah. This is, you know, so they're bringing it back. Unless he tweets some sort of racist nonsense, which leads us to the next topic again.
Well, the truth of the matter is that apparently the network and then affiliates who carry the old programs of Roseanne just couldn't wait to not only cancel... But then, you know, tell everybody how they canceled Roseanne. And Roseanne wasn't being racist. She, in fact, thought Valerie Jarrett was a white woman. So it was like, it's almost like it turns it around. And everybody who's screaming that she's a racist, they're really the racist because they assumed that it was a racist statement. And it wasn't. She thought she was a white person. Valerie Jarrett is, in fact, I believe, Iranian. So it's not even like she's a black American. Like, you know what I mean? I don't understand the quickness with which ABC ran to cancel the show. And then all these other, like, Paramount, all these other distributors were like, well, we're pulling it off, all of the reruns, so she doesn't make any money. Because she said the woman looked like the chick monkey from the Marky Mark version of Planet of the Apes, the really bad remake from like 2000 or 99 or whatever. And quite frankly, you know what?
She does.
So, I mean, you...
We all know what that means.
No, that's not true. But what the left is saying is, if you compare someone to a monkey, you're racist. So then there's all these, you know, all this footage of like Wanda Sykes and other people involved in that show comparing Trump to a monkey. Comparing your girlfriend, Erin Burnett, who has the world's worst profile in the news business.
What about...
Also compared a George Bush to a monkey on MSNBC back
in the day. What about Ron Perlman? You're going to tell me he doesn't look a little bit like a monkey?
Ron Perlman?
Yeah. Isn't that the person we're talking about?
The Beauty and the Beast, Hellboy.
Yeah, if that man looks like a monkey.
I never...
You're going to tell me that Luis Guzman does not have monkey-like qualities?
Luis Guzman. Who's that? Is he one of the from Entourage?
No, he's from... he's the classic Puerto Rican actor from the Lower East Side.
I was going to say, you know who looks like one of those like little monkeys from like Friends?
He was in, what's that movie? Carlito's Way.
I didn't see Carlito's Way. You know the monkey from Friends?
Maurice?
It?
Is that his name?
Yes. You know who looks like him?
I don't.
My least favorite actor in the world.
John Leguizamo.
Yes. Can you tell me why you say his name is Leguizamo?
Leguizamo.
It's like...
Let me tell you, John Leguizamo, stand-up performance in that movie we saw the other day.
In what movie?
Best performance I ever seen
him
give.
Oh, gosh. What was that movie called again?
Incident on 7th Street.
Incident on 7th Street. Another curveball, but that was a movie that was... clearly an indie film. It stars... it's Anakin Skywalker, right?
Yeah, it did, actually.
Anakin Skywalker...
Wait, what's his name again?
Hayden Christensen.
Yes.
John Leguizamo. Who else was in it? I feel like somebody else famous was in there. Maeve from...
chick from Westworld.
Is her name Tandy or Thandi? Newton.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know. Sometimes the H is silent, sometimes not so much. But she was
Thandi.
In it. Incident at what?
Thandi. Wasn't that the name of Will Forte's character in Last Man Standing?
Thandi?
Last Man on Earth?
Thandi?
Tandy?
Tandy.
Yeah, it's like some sort of alternate name. Tandy? Thandi? Something like that. Yes. This is a curveball podcast.
Yeah, this is not the popular, unpopular.
Remember the time
podcast?
We were in Georgia at that rest stop and I got peanuts? I don't.
I was going to say, I do not recall that at all. I remember the first time we drove down.
Saying, wouldn't that be another curveball?
I remember the first time we drove down to Florida. You figured out that the back seats flipped open and revealed the trunk, and so when we went and parked at Disneyland,
hey, take it easy.
We parked at Disneyland, and he was like, "1 second," and he crawled into the back seat, put down the back seats, crawled into the trunk, and did a few bong hits. Before we went into the park.
Well, yeah, you know, you gotta be prepared.
That was, we had only been dating for maybe 5 months.
It was a homemade bong, too, by the way. I think that was made out of a plastic quart water bottle.
Yeah, all I know is we had been dating for 5 months. You had been pretty much on your best behavior for those first 5 months. And then for the next 20-some odd years, you've been... that fiendish guy in the trunk of the car.
Well,
how's that for a curveball?
I got no comment.
You cannot confirm nor deny. So, what do you think about the Roseanne thing? Especially now that you know that Valerie Jarrett is in fact not a black woman, and that in fact Roseanne said she didn't. She thought she was a white lady.
I don't think that should matter. God forbid you call a black person looking like Planet of the Apes. What? So what? What? So what? I'll say it again. So what?
You said when you were little, people used to say you look like a Muppet.
Yeah, and I'm a Jew. I've got plenty of Jew hatred in the past. So go fuck yourself.
Okay.
Don't make me talk about Ginger Baker again.
Oh, geez.
Jesus,
please, let's
fucking
not.
Christ.
Let's not talk about Ginger Baker.
First of all, look. As far as I can tell you, Roseanne's show wasn't very good.
What the fuck are you saying?
Even the first, I never liked the first one. You think you're going to hurt just Roseanne by canceling it? What did John Goodman treat this tweet? Now, what's he going to do? Are you going to pay his contract out?
Oh, I bet they are.
Then who are you spiting? Yourselves. That's paying true. For nothing then.
I believe in order for them to
the
not
fuck?
Look terrible, they are going to pay everybody for the next season.
Then what are they paying for? They should pay Roseanne, too. Are they going
to
pay her?
I'm sure they have to.
Then they're the fools. The show was, you know, they were looking for an easy out.
I think they were, but why would you look for an easy out when the show is your number one show?
Because it's number one now, and next it's going to go slowly down and not continue to be number one.
Do you think another network will pick it up?
No.
All right.
I do not.
Okay.
How about the reboot of Charlie Sheen? You think that's going to happen?
Did you see that today?
I did. I bet that'll happen.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I've got two words for Charlie Sheen, and it's Corey Haim. So if we're going to cancel Roseanne over a tweet that was misunderstood and... I mean, it
was welcome to the world of double standards.
Yeah, but we're going to, okay, over a tweet that was a joke that was immediately slammed as racist when, in fact, it really wasn't. And then we're going to have Charlie Sheen come back, 2.5 Men.
The problem is,
who's been accused of so many horrible things.
America likes Charlie Sheen, and they don't like Roseanne. I don't know why, but Roseanne rubs people the wrong way.
Look, this is what I'm saying. Roseanne sends out a tweet that people misunderstood, and they all jump on a bandwagon and, you know, get their torches and their pitchforks out before she has a chance to even say anything. Or you have Meryl Streep giving a standing ovation to child ass rapist Roman Polanski at the Oscars without a care. Just everyone knows he's a child ass rapist, and she's still fucking giving him a standing ovation. Woody Allen is still allowed to go and make movies. Charlie Sheen has tweeted a fucking picture of a script when he's, you know, at least questionable. The guy who also child raped somebody, De Silva, or Silva, Victor Silva.
Oh,
he's a director. He directed those movies with the scarecrows in the.
I've heard about him.
Justin Long was in one of his movies, one of those movies. I forget what their names are, but then he got accused of ass rapage.
How do you think he got his name, Justin Long?
And then it was molestation. I don't want to downplay it, but it was molestation of some sort.
Yeah.
And then he was directing Powder. And then he's directing this and that. No one gives a shit. Fucking Roseanne tweets about Valerie Jarrett, and all hell has broken loose. And this is what is the problem with me, with the left. They are just so hypocritical. They are so Chicken Little, the sky is falling. And they just, I can't imagine being proud to say I'm part of that group.
Well, I hear that.
All right, then. You had an unpopular opinion the other day about a drummer.
Oh, geez. Here we go.
It was, I don't know if you want to name names.
Well, I don't know, but what does it matter?
Well, do you think it's going to keep you from getting gigs in the future?
What gigs am I getting? I'm not getting any gigs.
Well, what if all of a sudden you got a gig and then they said, oh, but in this podcast, he talked bad about this drummer.
Oh, well, that's fine.
Or do you...
I'm not talking bad about him.
What, no, you're just saying you don't think he's a good fit for the band he's in right now.
I absolutely think that's true.
And because of what?
I just don't think Sonny Emery sounds good with Eric Clapton, that's all.
Now, Sonny Emery is a drummer, a famous drummer, right?
Sonny Emery's a brilliant drummer who's been around for ages, who's got the respect of everyone in his peer group and other world-class drummers.
As well as yours.
I like him in certain things, but I've got the most recent stuff I heard him do, I don't like. And that's just my opinion.
But why is that? Because you were explaining it to me very...
Because he overplays he plays like an athlete. He plays very aggressively. He hits very hard. He's an overpower.
And he's not meshing.
He doesn't serve the music.
Right.
And I seem to be the only person who thinks this.
Now, he's currently playing with...
He's playing with Clapton.
With Eric Clapton. And Dave takes music very seriously.
Look, compare Steve Gadd to Sonny Emery. They're polar opposites. And Steve Gadd was a perfect fit for Clapton. Sonny Emery is not. It's not. Sonny Emery would be a better fit for Jeff Beck.
See?
Much better fit for Jeff Beck.
For someone like Dave...
Sonny Emery with Eric Clapton.
For someone like Dave, music is not just music. It's also a language, a real language. And he listens to music in a way I do not listen. I listen if it's pleasing, then I'm like, okay, I'll go with it. But he's, you know, dissecting it in his head and pulling it apart and listening to it for different things. And
You know who sounds good with Eric Clapton?
Who?
Andy Newmark.
Andy Newmark. I believe we spoke about him last week.
And Andy Newmark played like one gig with Clapton and then lost the gig. Now, I don't think Clapton liked him very much, but I tell you, you listen to those recordings, and that's what Clapton needed, someone right in the pocket with a laid-back feel.
See, there you go. Maybe Andy Newmark was just too darn good-looking for
Clapton.
Well,
I don't know what was happening there. I don't know what happened. Or something was happening.
There's something about really good-looking guys joining the band. You know, back in the day when Russ Irwin joined Aerosmith.
That's not good.
Dude, too good looking for that band, and they hid him.
They're a four-piece band. They couldn't have a fifth member on stage.
Why? Rolling Stones has other members on stage.
Because they've always had other members on stage. The Beatles would never have another member on stage. If they do, he was off the side of stage. Am I mistaken? Was Billy Preston on stage with the Beatles?
I don't... know more about the Beatles than
maybe
me.
Maybe he was. I don't know.
I'm just saying that I feel like at times... band leaders get a little bit, they get a little standoffish when somebody really good looking is on the scene. They want that attention.
It's possible.
I've seen it.
It's possible.
All right. I've seen it in action. That's all I'll say. So, but you also said yesterday that Sonny Emery was great in what band?
Sonny Emery was great in Earth, Wind, and Fire back in the 80s.
So you're not saying you think he's shitty. You're saying...
No, he's a great drummer.
You don't think he's a match for Eric Clapton.
I don't think he's a match for Jeff Lorber. I don't think he's a match for Eric Clapton. Other than that...
Who's Jeff Lorber?
He's a keyboard player.
Oh, for Eric Clapton?
No.
Oh.
For inventing smooth jazz, basically. Jeff Lorber... well, let me put it this way. Mm-hmm. Without Jeff Lorber, there might not have been Kenny G. And that is not a good thing, but unfortunately, Kenny G was in Jeff Lorber's band. Before he was Kenny G, was Kenny Gorelick.
I see. And did Sonny Emery, in fact, play with Jeff Lorber?
Yeah,
he played
with Jeff Lorber.
I don't know if you were just throwing
out. So did Andy Newmark. And guess who sounds better?
Andy fucking Newmark.
All right, relax.
You're big on Andy Newmark for 2 weeks in a row now.
Andy Newmark doesn't have chops at all. The guy, he can barely make it around the fucking drum set at this point. But he plays his ass off in terms of feel. And that's what you need. You need someone with feel, not someone who's got... Look, don't get me started.
I'm getting you started.
It's gospel chops, all right? Gospel, okay. But let's, you know, take it outside of the church for a second. It's not all about the chops.
What's the difference between chops and feel, I guess?
Charlie Watts and Buddy Rich.
Charlie Watts' chops?
No, Charlie Watts' feel.
Okay. I have no idea, but what is, you know,
chops is what you build up. You build up your chops. You got your acting chops, you got your musical chops, you know.
Somebody once told me I have writing chops.
You shed and build up your chops.
Okay, so it means you're good.
It means you have technical ability.
Oh, okay. So, okay, all right. So I have technical ability if I have chops.
Yes.
But the feel is...
Feels the most important thing. There's some Ray Charles records that just have a beat on the 2 and 4. There's nothing else. It's the whole record, and those are pop hits. It's not just about how many, you know, licks you could get in there. I mean, Sonny Emery's not just doing that, but he sounded pretty good with Steely Dan. He played with Steely Dan too. He sounded all right with them.
In the studio or live?
He's probably, I don't know about live. He's on studio, some studio stuff.
Oh, really? Is he no Bernard Purdy?
No, man, they're opposites.
So Bernard Purdy is all feel.
Oh, all feel. But all he's got feel. Great chops, too. I mean, it's not like he's amateur.
His Bernard, chops don't get in the way of his feel.
His chops serve the music.
I see. Some people, their chops get in the way of the feel.
Sonny Emery's a great drummer. He's just too aggressive, I think, for Eric Clapton. Put it at that for now.
But you loved him with Earth, Wind, and Fire.
He was good with Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Because that was a...
But I think the original drummer for Earth, Wind, and Fire was what? Was one of the White Brothers? What's her name? I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Anyway, The original guy from Earth, Wind & Fire, I think was the bass player's brother or someone's brother. Anyway, he was better.
So, Bernard Purdy, top 20?
Yeah, he's pretty much, yeah, definitely.
Sonny Emerson? Bernard
Purdy's one of the best drummers ever.
Sonny Emerson?
Sonny Emery.
Emery?
Sonny Emery makes me bored.
No.
Sonny Emery bored of
okay.
him.
Not the top 20 is what I'm saying.
No, but he's, you know, Sonny Emery's an amazing drummer. Not my cup of tea.
Not your cup of tea, especially with Clapton.
Yeah. And don't get me started on Clapton. I mean, Clapton in his own right sucks. Fucking the Clapton nostalgia show. That's great. Wonderful.
Dave is angry that Eric Clapton just seems to be out there doing best of shows and not really singing new stuff.
Or not even just playing some blues and really playing.
There's no jamming. It's just record hits. Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much. It's okay. It's all right.
I mean, his playing is great.
His playing is still good. Mm-hmm.
But you just feel like there's no innovation going
on. It's sterile. But that's what the people want. They want sterile. They don't want anything different than the before. They want to hear what's on the record so they can remember what they felt when they heard that record 20, 30, or 40 years ago. So that's fine.
I mean, you know, I have my experience with a band like that as well. And that is what they do.
Yep.
They make their money. They know that they've become a nostalgia act for, most of the audience. And they play the hits.
So Zappa at the Pier, goddammit, he opened the show with a fucking 15-minute guitar solo. All right? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but, you know.
It was like the Grateful Dead, only they know how to fucking play.
All right. Now
I mean, the jamming was like the Dead, only they actually know how to play.
I thought you liked the Dead.
I did. Yeah, the vocal harmonies were actually in tune. Other than that, it was like the Dead. It was like the Dead, except there wasn't some fucking freak named Bob Weir fucking up the goddamn harmonies.
You think Bob Weir is the culprit of the harmonies?
Yeah, him and Phil Lesh and Donna McKechnie or whatever the fuck her name is. Donna, no, that's an actress.
Something Pow?
Donna.
Paschal?
Just Donna.
Paschal?
Godshaw. Donna Godshaw, you know, was on every Motown hit and there was in the fucking early 60s. And then what happened, I don't know. I don't know why she's out of tune with Jerry.
Was she a background singer?
Yeah. Percy Sledge, all these people.
Really?
Yeah, surprising.
But she was out of tune live. She probably just couldn't hear herself.
She's definitely out of tune sometimes.
I mean, there was no in-ear monitors back then, was there?
No, but I never heard Sarah Vaughan out of tune. I never heard Ella Fitzgerald out of tune.
Yeah, but were they trying to harmonize with someone?
No, but they're playing over a big band and they were...
I hear that, but...
true musicians.
I mean, I'm not trying to make excuses for Donna Godshaw. What is it?
It had been the drugs. It must have been the drugs.
I don't know if it's the drugs, but like if you watch like the Andrew Sisters and they're playing with a big band, they're standing right next to each other. I feel like...
That's true.
I feel like that's a key thing, and I'm sure Donna's trying to harmonize, can't hear shit. And
you can't blame it on Donna.
What?
The whole band was out of control. I mean, how are you going to fucking sing in tune over a cacophony?
Yeah.
Not always, but occasionally.
Yeah.
We get lost.
Those jams got a little weird.
Yeah, it's just all weird.
How many times did you see the Dead, you think?
I think I saw the Dead like 11 times, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Between 81 and 85. And then I stopped.
Then you stopped because you fell out of love?
I was disenchanted with the scene, man.
I would say I saw the Dead, I'm going to say between 20 and 25 times.
You know.
Between 89 and 96.
Holy cow.
Yeah. I was going a lot.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people went a lot. I liked them at first.
What made you not like them? Was there like a moment in time where you were like...
Yeah, I was in Hartford outside of the concert trying to get in. For some reason, I didn't have a ticket.
You were looking for a miracle, Dave?
I was just... Maybe I did have a ticket. maybe I can't even remember now. I just remember experiencing, I don't know, it's just like all these like whack, like fake hippies, like trying to profit, like
tricksters.
Selling shit, like selling tickets for way over the price and like bad shirts and drugs and sandwiches, and it was just all fucking bullshit. It was a bunch of bullshit. And then guards killing people that were trying to break in. I was at Brendan Byrne a few months before that kid died, and I witnessed fucking, it was like some sort of army siege. Like, I think the hippies had walkie-talkies, and they were like, you know, forming like, you know.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was a mission. Like, you know, hundreds of people would breach a door, and you know, then 100 people more would come. It was like,
jeez,
it was fucked up, man. There's no, it's no wonder that the guards felt overpowered and they got out of control. Fucking insane.
What year was that?
85.
Wow.
These kids it's just rich kids with credit cards pretending they're hippies, and it's just like, you know, go fuck yourself. Once again, go fuck yourself.
The liars and cheats.
That was then. Can you imagine what the kids like watching Fish are? Can you imagine fish parking lot? It was bad in 85. I'm sure it was bad in 65. Fucking ugh. It's fucking losers.
I've never been to a Fish show.
I've been to a Fish show. Yeah. I was fucking playing the goddamn thing, all right? The only Fish show I went to, I fucking opened for Fish. And that's it.
What band was that with?
That was with another band I'm not going to mention. Oh. That was a band though. We opened for Fish.
What band was that?
What?
What band?
I'm not telling. I don't need people knowing who I am.
Dave, they know who I am, so they know
that's
who
fine.
You are.
That's fine. I'm not saying what band it was.
Was it, did it start with a D?
No.
Start with an F?
Started with a, I'm not telling.
Oh, okay.
Point is, I opened for Fish and on trampolines and wearing dresses.
You wore a dress?
They did.
Oh, okay.
The drummer was in some sort of a moo-moo.
All right.
And they had trampolines. That's all I remember. This is 1991.
So this was, they were not very big in 91.
They were pretty big.
Oh, they were?
Yeah, they were selling out about 500, 600 seat place. I mean, yeah, they weren't huge. They were selling out places that were like 1,000 seats, I think.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. All right. They weren't stadium arenas.
This is pre-internet.
Yeah, yeah.
They had cultivated their huge mailing list.
Oh, from where were they? Vermont?
Yeah, Burlington. They had a core bunch of people that somehow got them where they are. They had a big team effort there, and they organized, and, you know. Fish did something that most people will never, ever be able to do, other than them sucking.
Yeah, I was never a fan. I can't tell you a song by them.
Yeah, the thing is, Trey is a great guitar player, I think.
Uh-huh.
And I think the drummer's a good drummer. The other guys are adequate. But the singing is just, it's bad. And the song content lyrics are just like, I don't know who relates to that shit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know either, but it was never me. In the 90s, in the early 90s, I was from 89 till, I guess until we got married, I was all in with Blues Traveler. Like, I didn't even hear of Fish. I was just all in with Blues Traveler.
Yeah, Fish
and Spin Doctors. Spin Doctors, too, because they played
Fish
a lot
was
together.
Touring, I guess. They weren't really in New York City that much at that point.
Who, Fish?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you have a Vermont connection, so is that why you were up there so much, or... Like, how did you get that gig? Or did someone else in the band get it?
Oh, we were managed by people. That wasn't in Vermont. That was in Connecticut.
I see.
That was at the Sting.
The Sting?
Which was a old roller rink that had been converted into a venue.
Oh, wow.
It was connected to a... a strip bar. The dressing room
oh no
was part of the strip bar.
Was it a shared dressing room?
The dressing room opened up, and you walk into the back of the dressing room, and you were peering down over the bar.
Oh, it was like a balcony.
A balcony peering down over the strippers.
Well, I guess it could have been worse, huh?
It was worse. When I saw Popper looking over the balcony down at the strippers.
Oh, you were with Popper too?
Yeah, we played there a couple times. We opened for Fish, and we also opened for a Traveler there.
Okay, well, Popper was like, he's a red-blooded American boy.
Popper and our bass player with their tongues out looking over the balcony. It was ridiculous.
Well, you know, pretty girls get attention.
Popper must have been 400 pounds, and so was our bass player at that point. It was a sight for sore eyes.
Oh, my God, Popper.
Oh, and the even worse sore sight was that my brother came to see me there with his 7-year-old kid or something.
Well, that's...
And he walks into the dressing room. He's like, okay, not for kids.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, that was the sting.
That's
a unique experience.
That's not your fault.
New Britain, Connecticut.
New Britain. How was the town?
I don't know. I didn't make it out of the parking lot.
Why would you? There was strippers there. You played with Popper at the Sting, and you played with
I didn't
Fish
play
at
with
the
them.
Sting.
We opened for them.
Opened for, that's what I, you know. I'm not saying that you got on stage and jammed with them, but that's the venue you played with both of those guys?
Yeah, we opened for Archangels there too, now that I'm thinking of it.
Archangels.
Archangels was Charlie Sexton.
Charlie
the guitar player.
Sexton, the guitar player.
With Chris Layton, the drummer and bass player, whatever his name is, for Double Trouble from Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh. It
was those two guys with Charlie Sexton and Doyle Bramhall II, who is the guitar player in Clapton's band now.
Wow.
Also played with Roger Waters. Amazing, amazing guitar player.
And it was called Archangel? And did
Archangels.
They sing mostly covers
Archangels.
Of each other's bands and stuff?
Or? I don't remember what they played. I don't remember what they played. It was pretty good.
What was your favorite band to open for?
Oh, I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
Not the Allman Brothers?
Never actually opened for the Allman Brothers.
You didn't open for the Allman Brothers at Wetlands?
No, we played with the Allman Brothers at Wetlands, but no, we never opened for them.
What does that mean?
Opening would be, you'd be the opening act. You play and then they play after you.
Okay, so what
we
did you play?
We just played at Wetlands and...
And they played after?
No, they played with us. We played the whole night with the Allman Brothers, except Dickie wasn't there and the drummers weren't there.
And that wasn't fun?
Well, yeah, that was fun, but we didn't open for them.
Okay. Okay, literal Dave.
What? I'm just saying.
Okay.
We opened for America.
How was that?
It was amusing.
Why was it amusing?
I don't know. It was amusing to hear them play after us. They did all their hits. Ventura Highway.
That's a good one.
And they did, Horse with No Name.
That's a good one, too. They have some hits.
Oh, I'll tell you, one funny thing was opening for Steppenwolf.
Where was that?
The Steel Mill in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
We had to play the whole night because...
They didn't show up?
No, they showed up, but Steppenwolf wasn't using a bass player, and they had all their bass parts sequenced on a computer.
Oh, no.
And the computer wouldn't work.
Oh, my God.
So they couldn't play. They just never got it together, and we played the whole night.
Did you play a Steppenwolf song?
Wait, no. That was at the Chestnut Cabaret, I think. I think that might have been at the Chestnut Cabaret in Philadelphia.
Did you open for them more than once?
Yeah, yeah. We were kind of like on a mini tour with them.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was like, what's that cat's name again? The leader of Steppenwolf. It was him with some kids, basically.
It wasn't the old
school.
It
wasn't really Steppenwolf,
gotcha.
But he called it Steppenwolf, and he had leather pants and a harmonica.
He had leather pants and a harmonica.
But yeah, the drummer would pretend to count the song off with his sticks clicking, but he wouldn't actually hit them together. It was all on him. It was he would put them in the air, pretending to go 1, 2, 3, 4, and that was stick noise coming out of the speakers.
Oh, wow. So everything was...
It was all clocked out, mapped out, bass parts.
Did he play real drums at all?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He played real drums to a click that he probably had in his headphones, and he also had the sequenced bass part probably in his headphones. And everyone else probably just had it through their monitors.
So there was a bass player, but he really wasn't playing?
No bass player, just...
Just the parts.
Just the parts. I think there might have been a keyboard player, but he wasn't playing the bass parts.
Weird.
Yeah. Amateur hour.
Well, I mean, you know.
We opened for Johnny Winter there, too. That was good.
Oh, I bet.
That was one of the better ones. I mean, I'm just talking about in terms of, like, artists.
As opposed to?
I don't know.
Okay.
We all opened for Chuck Brown. That was good.
Chuck Brown.
The Godfather of Go-Go.
The Godfather of Go-Go?
Yeah. Chuck Brown and the Soul Searchers.
Are you kidding?
Nope. He's passed away, but he was a DC legend.
The Godfather of Go-Go.
Uh-huh.
That's amazing. I didn't know there was a Godfather of Go-Go.
Oh, yeah. Chuck Brown.
Apparently Chuck Brown is the Godfather of Go-Go.
His drummer went on to play with Miles Davis.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Which takes me to the next issue. I was watching a video of Miles in 73.
Okay.
And he's playing, and all of a sudden he gets up and he starts yelling at his drummer.
Oh, boy.
And he's freaking out on him. And then...
in front of the crowd.
Oh, yeah. He's turned his back, but he's like, motherfucker, what the... You know, you can tell he's just like...
Oh,
he's
shit.
Like,
was he rushing?
No, he was playing... He wasn't rushing. He was playing slow, fast... In between.
Oh, he wasn't.
He was playing
time.
Like a free lunatic, and Miles was like, fucking groove, motherfucker.
Groove?
Yeah, you could tell he was like, in the pocket, groove. And then he gets it, and then he loses it again, and Miles is like, motherfucker, I told you. And then he gets it again.
Who was the drummer?
And then he goes over, Al Foster, great, great drummer. And then he goes over to the percussion player, and the percussion player is like doing his thing, you know, trying to have a happy face. And Miles is like, yeah. And he points at the drummer, and he's like, yeah, you guys are locked in. And then he goes back and does his thing.
That's hysterical.
Yep.
He just couldn't get his shit together.
I don't know what he was thinking, but Miles was like, motherfucker, what the fuck? Wasn't having it. You could see it. He's just like, I told you. He's like, motherfucker, I told you.
Maybe we'll have to link to that video. You have to send me a link so I can put it in our...
The whole band sounds like shit, but I mean, I guess he wasn't happy with the drummer.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. 73 Miles is a very out, sort of loose thing.
Is it?
Yeah, it's very, very free.
I guess it was a little too free, I guess.
Yeah, for Miles' taste at that very second.
Yeah.
It's fucking hysterical.
I just don't know when someone is screaming at you like that, I don't know how you can just pull it together and then perform. I'm so busy being mortified and frightened and scared that I don't know that I would be like, okay, now I'm going to play perfectly.
It's funny when you're on stage with someone who's having an imaginary battle with you that you don't even know exists.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden they yell at you. Not me, but I've heard this, you know, classic thing, you know, they yell at you like, you want it, motherfucker? You got it. Take it, motherfucker. You got it, motherfucker. That's our sax player friend has yelled that at people on stage.
Oh, God.
And it's just like, it's all happening in his head. Like, nothing has happened except maybe, like, he thinks the guy's maybe stepping on a solo, perhaps. So, like, it's just, like, from 0 to 60 in 2 seconds, and before you know it, like, you're getting yelled at on stage.
And the person, and the poor person has no idea it's coming.
Pretty much. Unless you've worked with him a lot.
And then you know it might be coming just because he's out of his mind. But
yeah,
not that, because you've done anything.
If you've worked with him a lot, then it's your fault.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe some people work with him just for the lulls, as the kids like to say.
Oh, man.
But this brings me to Whiplash. The other day, we were sitting in the living room, and Dave was on his phone, and I was like, let me put in a movie that perhaps we can watch together as a family. So I put on Whiplash because we've both never seen it. And I know it's about drums and a drummer. So I think, okay, my husband is going to like this movie. I put it on. It starts And you just, you got a puss on almost immediately. You did not like Whiplash. As a matter of fact, you didn't finish watching Whiplash.
Yeah, it's true.
What didn't you like?
I guess I didn't like the cliched love story part of it to start with. That was just, it was too much like an after school special for me.
You did make that note while we were watching it. What is this, an after school special?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I gotta say, the only thing I thought that was good was, what's his name? J.K.
Simmons?
Yeah, he was excellent. He was the only good part.
He was excellent, but he made me feel very uncomfortable because I have...
was supposed to.
Well, I've worked with someone as crazy as that in the past, and it really brought me right back to those moments, and it was very difficult.
Did he win an Oscar for it?
I believe he did, yes. Best Supporting Actor.
Well, who's the lead actor?
I guess the kid?
No.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I mean, he got Best Supporting, so.
Well, that's fine, but he was the star of that movie. I mean, am I wrong?
I don't. They do that so weirdly sometimes. Sometimes they guarantee some sort of Oscar nomination or win. They'll drop someone down to Best Supporting when you're like, what?
Any kid who would just sit there and let that guy slap him like that, you know, no. I'm not going to be part of your insane trip.
No.
No. I'm quitting. I'll go smoke a joint and you can go fuck yourself.
You big baby.
Go fuck yourself, you weirdo. What instrument did that guy even play?
We didn't finish watching. Dave was just like, I got to go. And he went off to do Dave things somewhere.
You want a movie about a drummer? It's called The O-Nighters.
Oh, the Wonders?
Yeah.
The Oneontas?
The Wonders. Now that's a good movie. That thing you do.
You like that movie?
I do.
Why do you like it?
Because if you're going to make a sappy movie and get it over with. Don't have it under the guise of something, I don't know. It was a good movie, but it wasn't, you know, did it win anything? Maybe it did.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever watched it all the way through.
I liked it. It was good.
All right.
That, you know, that had all the elements of a sappy movie about a musician. Whiplash, eh. And look, what is this? How come there was no black drummers? You telling me there wasn't a black kid there who couldn't fucking nail that shit better than that kid?
Maybe they thought if J.K. Simmons was yelling at a black kid, it would look racist. Shit.
There would have been a black kid at that fucking conservatory who would have kicked their ass. There was a black bass player. Why wasn't there a black kid on drums? If there's a black kid, he's gonna fucking nail it. He's gonna... Look, I hate to tell you this, but there's a lot of black drummers out there who are better than white drummers. There's some good white drummers, but, you know, I'm just saying. Just look famously at the innovators of modern music, and they're all black people. That's all I'm going to say. All
right, well, that's fine.
Except,
Sonny Emery?
No. See, there's the things fall through the cracks. Look, Mike Clark.
Yeah.
Not a black guy.
Not a black guy.
Absolute innovator on the drums.
Okay.
Huge. Steve Gadd, huge.
Not
okay?
A black guy.
Yes. But then you can't forget Art Blakey. You can't forget Elvin Jones. You can't forget Max Roach. You can't forget Philly Joe Jones. You can't forget Joe Jones. You can't forget, you know, Roy Haynes. You can't forget Billy Higgins. You can't forget thousands of drummers who just trounce upon the kid in Whiplash.
Yeah, I don't think you were buying the kid in Whiplash.
You know, Nate Morton for The Voice. That's a good drummer.
You like the drummer for The Voice better than... You like the band for The Voice better than the band for American Idol, right?
Yeah, American Idol shit the bed. They must have cut corners on that shit.
I don't know, but they gave Colin Kaepernick the bass playing job.
And he was the best part of the band.
Well, there you go. He's found his second career. He didn't kneel once the whole time. Do you have a favorite music movie about a musician? Is The Wonders...
I like the Gene Krupa story.
The Gene Krupa story.
I also like the Benny Goodman story with Steve Allen.
You do?
Yeah, that's good too.
Are those your two favorites?
I like The Man with the Golden Arm. That's really good. That's a great one.
Who's that about?
That is Frank Sinatra.
Oh.
Plays a junkie. Drummer junkie.
Oh, okay.
It's probably one of the best, in my opinion.
Wow, I guess I haven't seen that one.
He's got the sidekick there, the helper guy, classic Pipsqueak. Pipsqueak from 12 Angry Men, that guy.
Is it the guy
I think it's that guy. Maybe I'm mistaken. I could be confusing myself. I haven't been seen in a while.
When you say Pipsqueak, the only guy I can think of is the guy that was on the Newhart show. It kind of sounds like
Yeah. Is that the
Winnie
same guy?
Pooh.
Who's the guy? There's a guy in the 12 Angry Men with Henry Fonda.
I don't know.
Classic Pipsqueak.
I only think of one guy for the classic Pipsqueak. All right. Well, my favorite music movie, and I know you're going to hate it.
Xanadu.
Eddie and the Cruisers.
Oh, God. I thought it would
be... Dark Side's calling out nothing.
I thought it was that Rex Smith movie.
Ooh, the Rex Smith, Sooner or Later. That's all.
Yeah, that's really appropriate content.
Sooner or Later is a movie that would never get made now.
James at 15, the adulterous version.
Yeah, Sooner or Later has Rex Smith. I think he's 18 or 19.
More like Sooner.
He's dating a 13-year-old only because she has made her... She's just told him that she's older. She told him she was 18.
She's got the chops, babe.
She's got the 18-year-old chops. But, yeah, that was a made-for-TV movie. I have it. I own it. I own the books. I'm long been obsessed with Sooner or Later and the soundtrack of it.
What do you like more, Sooner or Later or Somewhere in Time? No. Is that the movie?
Somewhere in Time with Christopher Reeves and Jane Seymour?
Exactly.
Because I do. I have both of those posters.
Oh, wait. What's the Malcolm McDowell movie?
Malcolm McDowell.
Stitch in Time?
Stitch in Time.
He plays...
That's the Jack the Ripper one,
guy?
Right?
Yeah.
Something time. Time
Jack
something.
The Ripper and what's the guy with the time machine?
H.G. Wells.
Exactly. He plays Wells.
That movie you like a lot more than I have. I don't think I've seen it as much as you have.
Yes, I like that one very much.
Yeah. I'm going to have to pick Sooner or Later if that's the two you're comparing.
No. I was just trying to remember the name of that one.
I love time travel in general, and I really... do love Somewhere in Time.
Well, there you go.
And the book I've read as well. And,
now, what's your favorite Christopher Reeve movie?
My favorite Christopher... I know what you're bringing this up only because you have one that's odd, I think.
What? You think I'm going to mention Death Trap?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm thinking. I'm thinking he doesn't care what my answer is.
No,
he's just waiting over there.
I'm just trying
there.
To lead you to Death Trap.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
My favorite Christopher Reeve movie, I'm going to have to say, is Superman, even though I love Somewhere in Time. I feel like I love Somewhere in Time not because of him, but Superman I do love because of him.
The original Superman, is he in the second one too?
Yeah, he's in, I think, three of them.
Superman.
What is it, Death Trap?
I think it's Death Trap.
Why do you like that one so much?
I like classic plays.
I see.
You know, I think I might have seen that one on Off-Broadway.
Yeah?
Back in the day.
Did a relative of yours produce it, or you just...
No, but we might have seen it.
I see. Well, that's nice.
Yes.
So, you just want...
okay. Well, let's forget about Death Trap.
Okay.
How about Michael Caine in general?
Michael Caine in general.
Is he a knight? Is he a sir?
Sir Michael Caine. I don't think he is.
Well, he should be.
Is he your favorite?
No. What, favorite what?
Actor?
No, I like him, though. He's great.
Is he in your top 20?
I don't know about that, but I don't know if I have a top 20 actors.
I don't think you do.
Michael Caine's great, you know? I think I like Malcolm McDowell more if I'm talking about English classic actors.
I agree with that.
Malcolm McDowell might be my favorite old English actor that I can think of right now.
Excellent.
Yes.
Not Anthony Hopkins?
Now we're getting in there. Something.
I mean, I've been watching the second season of Westworld.
Ah.
I forced you to watch the first season. Do you remember anything about it?
I do.
Okay. Well,
Bernard.
What?
Bernard.
Bernard. I've been watching the second season. Are you interested in watching that?
I might watch it. Is Bernard in it?
I don't want to do any spoilers.
Bernard, the left-wing fanatic.
You love Bernard, though.
Yeah, I loved him until he started making some sort of whack-ass speech on TV about, you know, dear Congress, do this or else I'll take a poop in my pants. Great, Bernard. Who cares?
Oh, man. Yeah. They're really just overly emotional and unhinged, and they don't see that they're acting like children.
Terrible.
It's kind of weird when you're in a bubble and you don't realize how terrible you're acting, and how much overreacting you do. And because we are a capitalist society, the people who you pay or give money to for their services have to nurture that, I guess. They have to abide by your ridiculousness. And so then you have things like ABC just being like, oh, nope, shutting it down. After, you know, there are videos of Kimmel in blackface and Bill Maher saying stuff about people looking like apes and monkeys. It's just like, you know, it's kind of shocking. And I'm not even a Republican. I am a registered independent. Because I just, you know, I don't agree with everybody all the time, but I have to say the people who aren't acting insane right now are not on the left.
That's true, for the most part. It's very true.
Yeah.
Fuckers.
I mean, it's just, you know, just angry hate and I don't know. I'm just not, I'm not into it.
Bad news, man.
What?
It's bad news, man.
It is bad news. Now, I want to... let's just talk about that movie real quick again. What is it? The incident at what?
Incident on 7th Street?
7th Street?
Yeah, I like that. That was a good one.
It's a horror movie, and it's really well done. Is it horror or thriller?
That's a horror movie, I would say.
It's a movie that you just turn on...
It's a...
What? Not horror?
It's a horror. It's a, I don't know what you'll call that.
Well, I will say this. It was an independent, scary movie of some sort, and I literally couldn't watch it. I had to have my eyes away from the screen because I was getting too scared. Like, there would be, like, little things that pop up or whatever, and it would make me feel, like, really uneasy and disturbed. So
what was that movie you were watching with the black-eyed kids?
Oh, The Grudge.
Yeah, that was kind of odd, too.
The Grudge is one of those Japanese movies. They do horror in their own crazy way.
What's better, Japanese or Chinese, when it comes to those kind of weird movies?
The Chinese movies they're not scary. They make, like, action-adventure movies.
Oh, okay.
And also some, like...
Oh, like that drift kind of stuff?
No, those are movies made with Chinese money, but that's not a Chinese production. Like the Wall with Matt Damon, or The Great Wall, I guess, whatever it was called, was good. And then there was another Chinese movie I saw. I want to say it was called Mermaid, but I might be wrong. But
who makes the Crouching Dragon movies?
That was a Chinese movie. That was an action adventure Chinese movie.
Gotcha.
Perfect. And it was beautiful.
So Chinese are less spiritual, I mean, less into ghosts than Japanese?
I don't know that there are many. I don't know that they do ghosts. Like I know when I don't know if it's WoW or Final Fantasy, but there are characters that they have to change for the Chinese audience, and I think one of them is ghosts. You can't have a ghost or something similar.
Strange.
Yeah, so it has to be a different looking character, and also I think it was Final Fantasy. Like some of the prizes or the rewards for certain things are different for the Chinese players.
Weird.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's weird. They have their reasons. And, you know, as long as they're willing to put up money, again, we're a capitalist society, so we're like, okay, you know, that's where we run on money. Some of us have more of it than others, but all right. So, do you have any parting words? We're going to wrap this episode 4 up.
No, I think that's about it for this one here.
Okay. All right. Anything to plug?
No, nothing to plug.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, it's been a real pleasure, and stay tuned for episode 5 coming next week. If there's something you guys would like us to talk about specifically,
keep it to yourselves.
Do not keep it to yourself. Let us know either on Twitter at @middleagedcool or on our YouTube channel in the comment section. Or you can email us at middleagedcoolkids@gmail.com. Did you know we had a email address?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not surprising you with that. All right then, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
Dankeschön.
Next time, America.